JM and the AM on this Thursday morning. Well, both Willie Hochman and David Gonscher of the Joel Paul Group have been with us in the past. We always get a good perspective on what's happening in the world of the Jewish community, and especially the world of not-for-profits in the Jewish community, by speaking with these two gentlemen. David Gonscher is the chairman of the Joel Paul Group. Willie Hochman is the CEO of the Joel Paul Group. And David, of course, has a massive role in something called peopleforisrael.com, which we'll get to at some point during this conversation as well. A pleasure to welcome both of you to JM and the AM.
Good morning, Nachum, from Israel. Great to be back with you, my friend.
I appreciate that. It's amazing that both of you are speaking to us from the Holy Land. Gives me even more and more of a desire to finally permanently get there and to be able to feature guests like yourselves live and in person. By the way, Willie, I owe you a debt of gratitude because for a long time during the entire process, you have been extremely enthusiastic about my brand new book. And I don't think anybody could have been happier than you were when you contacted me once it was out. So I hope you've been enjoying it, and I appreciate all the support and all the desire for me to get the history of the last 40 years out there. So I just wanted to give you a big thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nachum. I'm halfway through the book, and already it's outdated, as many people have probably told you. It needs another, multiple of minutes.
I got that. But hey, that's why we say add counting. But that should be our biggest problem. And I appreciate you going through it and look forward to your review. All right. I don't know who wants to start this discussion, but obviously when you guys are on, we always look back first, then we look forward. David, Willie, whoever wants to take this first, is there a general way we can assess 2024 when it comes to the Jewish community and specifically the world of not-for-profit organizations in the Jewish community?
Sure, Nachum, but before I do that, I want to make mention of the namesake of the Joel Paul Group. Mr. Joel Paul deserved a nice retirement. He retired late last year in 2024.
Oh, wow.
And we wish him well. Everybody should know that he is well. He's remaining as our, quote, strategic advisor, and he still has a lot of knowledge and information of people he knows who know him in the Jewish nonprofit world. So
I'm glad you mentioned that. We have a great historic association together, and I'm glad there he's doing well. Is he still in the Northeast, or has he headed down to Florida, as so many have at this point?
I'm the only one who's smart enough to move to Florida. Joel is still in Edison Highland Park area.
Nice, fantastic. All right, go ahead. What update can you give us regarding 2024?
So what's going to be going on, or what's in 2024, a lot, as you can imagine, organizations in the Jewish nonprofit world, those affiliated directly or tangentially with Israel since October 7th of last year, have been focusing on helping organizations and amutot, NGOs here in Israel, with fundraising, with marketing, with professionalism. So those organizations, there hasn't been that much turnover. There has been some open spots, new jobs that have been filled. But basically those organizations are really laser focused on, helping Israel and the war effort and refugees and things like that. All of our other nonprofits are moving ahead steadily. We've had a good year in terms of placements. And we're hoping for 2025 to continue. But that's really the change or continued change, unfortunately, since October 7th, 2023.
Yeah, and I get that, of course. And it's unfortunate that the needs of those organizations have grown, but for obvious reasons they have. You bring up something very interesting, and it's ironic that you're both in Israel as I ask this, because the American Jewish community continues to grow. We see that, and we pray for our brothers and sisters and all fellow citizens out in the Los Angeles area. But we do know of so many communities, big and small, that just continue to grow, and that means that there are needs in all of those communities, including especially synagogues, shuls, and organizations. You're familiar, synagogues, schools, and organizations, and you guys are familiar with all of those. And at the same time, we see a tremendous influx from the United States to Israel of talented people, men and women, in the area of not-for-profit who are, you know, taking their talents, frankly, to the Holy Land and are, you know, incorporating those talents in schools and organizations that are based there. Are we getting into a situation at all where the number of potential personnel simply can't catch up to the number of the needs of the infrastructure of so many Jewish communities here in the United States?
I'm not sure that we're there yet. I think, you know, for years, many people have talked about the brain drain in Israel, right?
Right.
And the fact that physicians and scientists and others went overseas, and what was that going to mean for the long-term future of Israel? I think what we're seeing is a shift in the population. You're correct that there are a number of nonprofit professionals, and for that matter, for-profit professionals that are coming to Israel. There are, unfortunately, people that are moving the other way, but I think what's happening is you're seeing a bit of a shift in the population, and the good news is that there is, yes, you're 100% correct, a tremendous amount of talent coming to Israel that was not here in prior years, and it is having an amazing impact on both the nonprofit market and the for-profit market. And I think that the long story of this, the big picture, is that Israel is going to come out on the winning side of this.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Aliyah from France, from the UK, from the USA is just incredible now.
Oh, no doubt. I agree with you. And both David and Willie can actually help me write the chapter in my next book about this topic, about the movement of so much talent from the U.S. to Israel. But that really begs my question for either of you. And this really can get us kicked off here about a discussion for 2025. And I'm using this example completely randomly. If an organization or a school, let's say a school, is in need of an executive director, a real professional knows how to manage, you know, everything that an executive director needs to manage, and they're in the Midwest, for instance, in the United States, not one of the major cities in this country, is that talent available? If someone comes to the Joel Paul Group from a city that like the one I just described, and says, we need a professional to move into a position like this, do you guys have enough offerings? Do you have enough potential when it comes to personnel in this country to actually give that institution a bunch of interview opportunities?
So the one-word answer is yes, and I'll expand. When you're talking about, I'll use the word, non-central, like not your Florida, California,
right,
New York, Chicago, but
right,
wherever else it could be, there's a couple of personality types that would be interested in that kind of a Jewish community. One, they have some connection, meaning husband, wife, from that, you know, they now live somewhere else, and they're familiar with that community, going back, quote, home, and they'll take a job in that community. So relocation is not foreign to them. So obviously, if we're talking about talent in that specific city or town, not that they don't need us, but they do need the Joel Paul Group because they want to look in a nationwide search,
right,
in a lot of cases. So that's the first thing that we would look at, is what connections do our professionals have to that city somewhere else, you know, in the United States.
Right.
Then also, if it is a well-paying job that merits and warrants relocation, then, and the family has that mindset to live out of town, wherever they are now, they also would consider that move. But, you know, there's a lot of factors. If they have children, whether the children are in elementary or high school, what is the, schooling system in that community for that? Sometimes that's lacking, and that's a challenge for that family to make a move. But, you know, in a nutshell, there are professionals available. It wouldn't be like if we were prospecting a, you know, synagogue or a school versus an organization in a metropolitan area, we would say to them, you know, you can expect X number of resumes, et cetera. Very, very hard to quantify in that example that you're giving, but yes, we would take on that opportunity, kind of knowing what we know about the professionals that we have reach out to.
And as you've pointed out more than once to us, there are plenty of people out there with professional skills in the corporate world that have a desire to use those skills in a not-for-profit arena. So it's not unusual for someone who's managed money or who has, you know, run a company anywhere in this country to express interest in being the executive director of a school or an organization. You see that crossover all the time, right?
Yes, there's definitely some positions, you know, from the corporate world that can be transitioned to the nonprofit world. You know, typically finance is an easier one,
right.
Especially if the person comes from corporate world, but also was involved in their synagogue or school where they currently live, and now transferring that skill, that's an easy one. You know, all kinds of marketing, PR, sometimes sales, good salesmen could be good fundraisers. But that's really determined by the organization of the ideal candidate profile that they're looking for.
Understood. Willie Hochman, David Gonscher with us from the Joel Pohl Group. So before we move on to other topics in this area, what's the practical advice? If someone is of the opinion that they could fundraise well for an organization or school or synagogue, they could be an executive director of the above, if they feel they have the talent to work in the world of not-for-profit somewhere in this country, what do they do? Do they contact you with their resume? And then, of course, the flip side, the organizations and schools and shuls, especially this time of year, a lot of them are looking toward now the summer and looking toward the next school year. If they're interested in getting in touch with you guys in order to help with their search for the next person, what are the practical things they need to do in order to get this going?
Thank you. So I'll answer the candidate, you know, the potential candidate first. It's always nicer when there is a job posted on our website or source other sources that we have, and then someone can just apply to that job, obviously with their resume. And if they're coming from the corporate sector, we advise them strongly to present a cover letter that tells us why they feel they're the ideal candidate for this job.
Right.
It shouldn't be intuitive to us as recruiters, why is this person sending us their resume? And on the flip side, obviously, if they are a professional fundraiser for the last 10, whatever number of years, and they're applying for a different fundraising job, they might not need that cover letter to us first because it's evident in their resume. So it's our website, joelpohl.com. is the best way to, you know, contact us. And for organizations, synagogue schools, nonprofit organizations and agencies, same way, all our information to contact us is on our website.
All right, joelpohl.com, everybody. That's the for both candidates, potential candidates, and institutions that are looking to hire. joelpohl.com. All right, Willie Hochman, David Gonscher with us live via telephone. So, Willie, you sent me a note. And, I mean, the question's for you or David. You sent me a note that AI, believe it or not, artificial intelligence, is actually being used in the Jewish not-for-profit sector. And that has piqued my interest. How is it that this new technology that's now becoming so mainstream, how is it that it's having an effect on the Jewish world of not-for-profit organizations?
So the first thing I want to say to your audience and to you is, there's this, I think, a misnomer that AI, at least in the sector where we're in, the Jewish nonprofit world, AI is going to replace people's jobs.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen, and we're not seeing that, number one. What we're seeing on two sides, and I'll start with the organization looking to open up a job. So the first thing they think about is they have to create a job description.
Right.
So they draft whatever the words are, bullets and words, and that's what they use as a draft, send it to us, we help them tweak it. Now, what several organizations that I've been in touch with are doing is, they put down their thoughts in writing and bullets, and they ask AI to craft a job description describing their organization, the position, and the wording that they've put down, and it's amazing, in less than 60 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, by the way.
Right? And then they can still further tweak it on their own.
Of course.
Or they can ask AI for further tweaking. and it's amazing how much time it saves. Not only in the wording, but AI will format it nicely for you and really get it something that we can use as a recruiting company, almost not even making many changes at all, if any. So that's how, number one, the organizations are working with job descriptions.
Cool.
And now if you move over to the professional side,
right,
candidates use their resume. Now, there's resume templates all around the internet, and people have their resumes, you know, they're gainfully employed, and they're looking confidentially, or they're in between jobs, and they're looking, you know, with an open world out there, and they update their resume. Now, again, going into AI, using their current resume or draft, they might add things like, recently I've done XYZ, ABC. They tell, you know, they write down things just in a certain wording format. And again, AI will take those thoughts under the different employers that they work for and kind of customize it a little bit more professionally so that, for example, sometimes we'll see on a resume, you know, the same verb or adjective or noun in three different employers in three different sections. The beauty of AI is it comes up with synonyms, similar words, doesn't repeat the same phrases, but it gets out the word of the accomplishments of the professional.
Fantastic. All a big positive, in my opinion. That's really cool. And
I think there's another element to it as well, Malcolm, and that is that we're seeing professionals use it in different contexts. You know, my mother of blessed memory was a development professional and then went on to become one of the founders of this organization. And what I can tell you is that development is done in a completely different way today. So we see development professionals using artificial intelligence to send out mass market campaigns to thousands of people. And in so doing, they're not even writing these letters, right? These letters are written by computers. They're going out to masses of people. And what happens is when those individuals respond, it really allows the development professionals or the executive directors to focus on the high-value targets. So what happened in the past is they wasted a lot of time kind of sorting through all of the individuals they were reaching out to. And today, they can see who responds to their campaign. They don't have to busy themselves with that and really focus on the targets that have expressed an interest.
Pretty amazing. It's almost 40 years, folks, the Joel Paul Group's been doing this. And if you're looking for a job in the not-for-profit sector, looking to explore a position in a school, a shul, a Jewish organization, lots of opportunities out there. And certainly if you are an organization that's looking to find the right person, Joel Paul Group will do the entire search for you. Check it all out. Go to the website, joelpaul.com, joelpaul.com. Before we let you go, David, how about a word about peopleforisrael.com? This is a coordinated effort that you founded after October the 7th. Tell us about the website. Tell us about the multi-pronged effort behind peopleforisrael.com.
Well, it is definitely one of my two passions. There's no doubt about it. Joel Paul Group has become another child of mine, and People for Israel is right up there with it. Unfortunately, as we all know, the events of October 7th were an earthquake. And so this is a grassroots organization that was started by myself, my wife, and volunteers in the on the moshav that we live, that really is focused on helping individuals, families, and lone soldiers that need assistance, whether it's a kosher meal for Shabbat, whether it's warm clothing for the winter, whether it's fireproof gear because they're in a danger zone, whatever it is that they need, we don't ask any questions. We just make sure that we get it there. And we have been assisted by hundreds of donors across the United States and Canada, and you know, Baruch Hashem, been successful in to date helping more than 6,000 individuals across Israel.
Unbelievable. Kol hakavod. Anybody wants info on that, peopleforisrael.com. Again, peopleforisrael.com. joelpohl.com. My thanks to David Gonscher, who's chairman of the Joel Pohl Group, and Willie Hochman, who's CEO of the Joel Pohl Group. Information about anything we've discussed this morning, about employment, getting people jobs, and boy, if we helped one person or one organization this morning, even one, this was well worth it. There's nothing like finding and matching up employment out there, and they do this all day long at the Joel Pohl Group. Go to joelpohl.com. Again, joelpohl.com. David, Willie, thank you so much. Kol hakavod, enjoy Israel, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Michael, thank you very much. I think the day that you were up only one person, we're all in trouble. I think you can now count them in the millions, but thanks for having us on this morning.
I appreciate that very, very much. And Willie, don't forget the review of the book. I must have a full review once you've completed it. More coming up. You're listening to JM in the AM.